From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hey everyone, I'm Delos with AmriPack, and I'm filling in for Billy throughout the month of July while he takes a little extra time to recover, catch up behind the scenes, and get everything ready for another busy season here at Gay PHX. We hope everyone had an incredible 4th of July weekend. Whether you spent it relaxing with friends, celebrating with family, or enjoying time with your chosen family, welcome back. We're glad you're here. Pride Month may be behind us, but our community doesn't stop when the calendar flips to July. Arizona's LGBTQ plus community stays active all year long, and that's exactly why Gay PHX exists, to help connect you with the people, places, and events that make our community thrive. Before we get into today's interview, I wanted to highlight a couple of things happening this week. On Friday, July 10th, Ripple Phoenix will be hosting a community discussion with Onyx Southwest, an evening of open conversation, connection, and community. If you can't make it in person, Gay PHX will be live streaming the discussion at gayphx.com/live, so everyone has the opportunity to join the conversation from wherever they are. The discussion runs from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Ripple Phoenix Community Corner. Then on Saturday, July 11th, if you're looking for something unlike anything else happening in the Valley, check out a rock opera at Walter Studios. Imagine a live rock concert, orchestra, theatrical storytelling, visual art, and immersive performance all coming together into one incredible evening. It's an all-ages experience that celebrates creativity across generations, and it sounds like an amazing night out. This week, Billy sits down with Randy Wild, whose journey spans theater, circus arts, aerial performance, burlesque, drag, and community leadership. Together, they talk about finding your voice, building confidence, mentoring the next generation of performers, and why art has always been one of the most powerful ways our community tells its stories. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. And if you're curious about the pup community, I'd also like to invite you to visit AmriPack.com. It's a welcoming resource full of information, education, upcoming events, and answers for anyone who's just beginning to explore the community. But first, let's pass the microphone over to Brian, our Desert Den Daddy, for this week's Hot 3 events.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 Phoenix, now that Pride Month is officially in the rearview mirror, has anybody noticed? Because from where I'm sitting, y'all are showing up, showing out, and proving that our community doesn't know how to have a quiet weekend. See, I told you, July isn't the end of Pride. It's just Pride, without the corporate logos. This week, we're talking community conversations, a one-of-a-kind rock opera that refuses to fit inside a single genre, and one of America's most prestigious pageants where excellence, elegance, and a whole lot of hairspray are about to take center stage. So charge your phone, hydrate like the fabulous little cactus you are, and wear the outfit. Not the maybe I'll stay home outfit. The one that's been waiting in your closet for its main character moment. Because Phoenix, Daddy's found three, this is Brian's Hot 3, your glitter-drenched, community-approved, Desert Den Daddy guide to where you need to be this weekend. Hot pick number one, discussion night, Onyx Southwest, Friday, July 10th at 6 p.m. Ever wonder about leather, kink, BDSM, or fetish, but weren't sure where to ask questions? This is exactly the kind of event our community needs. Discussion night is designed for newcomers and the curious, creating a welcoming, judgment-free space where you can meet local clubs, title holders, and community leaders without feeling like you need to know all of the terminology before you walk in. Ask questions, meet people, learn something new, make connections that might just lead to your next adventure. Ripple Phoenix will also be on site providing free HIV services, and food and beer and wine will be available throughout the evening. Because every journey starts with a conversation, and around here, curiosity is always welcome. Hot pick number two, a rock opera at Walter Studios, Saturday, July 11th. Red carpet is going to be at 5:30 p.m., pre-show at 6, and opera begins at 6:30. If anybody asks what happened when live music, visual art, dance, strings, drag, and pure creative chaos all decide to throw a party? The answer is a rock opera. Walter Studios transforms into a stage where genres disappear and creativity takes over. Featuring an incredible lineup of local performers, musicians, dancers, and artists, this isn't your traditional concert, it's an experience. Walk the red carpet, take in the art, cheer for the local talent, and prepare yourself for an evening that proves Phoenix creative community knows exactly how to put on a show. Trust me, this is one deserving a standing ovation before it even begins. Hot pick number 3, Miss Gay Arizona America 2026 at the Tempe Center for the Arts. Sunday, July 12th at 5 p.m. Grace, glamour, talent, and enough rhinestones to temporarily alter the Earth's orbit. Dragonfly Entertainment proudly presents Miss Gay America 2026, where Arizona's next symbol of excellence will earn the crown. This isn't just a pageant. It's a celebration of artistry, dedication, community leadership, and years of hard work coming together under one spotlight. Every contestant has a story, every performance has a heart, and by the end of the evening, one incredible entertainer will begin a brand new chapter representing our state. Bring your cheers, bring your applause, and don't be surprised if you're still finding glitter on your clothes sometime next Tuesday. That's just how pageants work. Phoenix. One thing I absolutely love about this week's lineup is that it reminds us how beautifully diverse our community really is. Some of us learn, some of us create, some of us perform, some of us lead, and all of us belong. Remember, community doesn't have a reason to disappear when June ends. It grows every single time we show up to help another in another event. So keep supporting locals, keep discovering new spaces, keep checking on your friends, keep dancing, keep cheering, keep asking questions, and keep letting that beautiful queer sparkle out into the world. Because around here, the glitter never settles. I'm your Desert Den Daddy, Brian, reminding you that life isn't measured by how many weekends you spend scrolling on the couch. It's measured by the people you meet, the stories you become a part of, and the memories you make together. You are seen, you are celebrated, you belong. And to every one of you listening, thank you. Thank you for supporting our local artists, our local organizations, our local businesses, and charities. And thank you for helping GayPHX continue to be a place where our entire community can find connection. We don't have a giant radio tower broadcasting across the valley. We have something even better. We have you, and that means everything. If you see us out this weekend, come say hello. Grab a selfie. Share a laugh. We'd love to meet you. Up until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you're close to meeting the 7.5% medical deduction threshold, prepaying for therapy, dental work, or braces before December 31st can push you over the line and increase your deduction. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
This week, we're stepping into a world where movement tells the story and gravity is just a suggestion. Our guests turn circus and burlesque into living art, blending strength, vulnerability, and pure queer joy into every performance. Their work reminds us that the stage can both be a mirror and a megaphone for self-expression. Take a deep breath, look up, and get ready to soar. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Randy Wild.
Thank you very much for having me, and that is an intro.
I pride myself in trying to find out as much as I can, which is not a lot. So hopefully these questions are all going to be relevant. How did you first discover circus and performance?
I've been a fan of the circus since I was a little kid, really. Like one of my first memories of being a little kid is going to my parents taking me to the circus and just the feeling of joy of being there. As an adult, like in my adult life, I have my bachelor's degree in theater performance, where I did an emphasis in movement, which is a whole bunch of like physical theater, which covers a whole bunch of different techniques to, like, from, like, clown to some of the origins of clown to mime to typical theatrical dance, like ballet, jazz, tap, all those things. And that kind of just evolved into me finding circus. What the catalyst was, I was in a nightclub in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I saw some people doing fire, and they weren't doing the most, like, spectacular things, but they were doing what they could. I was like, oh, that looks like fun. So I started, like, teaching myself fire art, and then just through growing with that, finding classes, I went from fire to silt walking, and then silt walking, I found aerial silks, and I tell people, once my feet left the ground, it was over for me. This is what I want to do. And to hell the fact that I'm a 200-pound-plus performer. I am over 6 feet tall. And for an aerialist, that both of those things are not ideal. But it was something where I just found that connected with me and that passion. And that actually led me to go to circuit school in New York City, at the school I went to at the time, Circus Warehouse, was the best circus school in the U.S.
Wow.
And so I got to train with some amazing people. And from there, I got to meet a whole bunch of different artists, from drag artists to burlesque artists to just the gamut of people. And then when I had to move back to Arizona due to family reasons, it made me wonder, okay, how do I do what I'm doing in Arizona and in Tucson? Because there's no venues that have beautiful 30 to 40 to 50 foot ceilings.
Right.
And so that kind of led me to burlesque and drag, which before I did circus, I dabbled in both of them, especially as a male lead entertainer and in boylesque. And that also led me to find pole dancing, especially like lollipop pole and to a typical dance pole. And that's how my art evolved to now, going from like high level circus in New York to figuring out who I am more as a person, and then as I figure out more who I am as a person and as an artist, to be able to blend the two of those, to be able to tell my story and my passion the best that I possibly can.
So was your first time on stage a regular stage, or was it an aerial stage when you first did your first performance?
My first performance was I was a theater kid through and through. So my first time on stage was, I think, the first grade.
Oh, wow.
In school plays. I've been a semi-professional actor since I was 14. So it's just, my mom jokes that I came out of the womb with jazz hands saying ta-da.
That's awesome. So then when was your first aerial performance?
Oh, my first aerial performance. Thinking back, I'm like, what? My first aerial performance was actually an aerial harness performance. People who know Tucson, because that's where I'm from, and that's where I'm in. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. There is a big parade each year that's the All Souls procession, and that's a big community-led. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never experienced, I highly suggest you go to allsoulsprocession.org, look up where the parade route is. Because it's just this beautiful Dia de los Muertos, All Souls, honoring the dead, community-led, community-driven event. And during this whole time, there's an urn that's processed through Tucson, and then there's a finale spot where the urn is then lit on fire. And as the urn is being moved throughout the city, people are putting their prayers in, their messages to loved ones, things like that, before it's burned. And during the finale, when it's burned, it's a big circus spectacle. There's people spinning fire poi and fire staff. There's aerialists, there's stilt walkers. And one of the years I got to be one of the aerialists up on a harness. There were 17 of us that year. Wow. And we were all just like, we were just basically in rock climbing harnesses on this giant, basically it looked like a big performer mobile.
Very cool.
It was just like soaring over this crowd. It was just so amazing. And I'd already been training aerial, but that was my first performance. Was like, okay, yeah, this is definitely something I want to do and I'm going to pursue.
And how old were you when you did that?
I was 25, 26.
Okay.
I'm 42 now, so a while ago.
Got it. And so now, what makes a great performance work for you?
A great performance for me, it's having that connection to your audience. No matter what you're doing, the way I approach an aerial gig, the way I approach a burlesque gig, the way I approach a drag gig, those are all doing very different art forms that are folded in. I find ways to fold into it, each other. And even though I could be doing so many very different things, I like finding that connection with people, finding the person in the audience. If I'm lip syncing a song, who is just like lip syncing along, and this is their song. And that kind of allows me to find them and have a connection with them. And that just energizes the performance for me. Same thing with burlesque, like hearing the crowd, hearing that, like if I'm doing a reveal or doing something that's unexpected and you can hear the audience react, that's what keeps me going.
So when you're creating this new act each time, where do you start? Do you start with like music, story, movement, outfit? How does that all come together?
So the answer is yes.
All of the above.
It's all of the above, because I can't really say it's one thing or another for my process, because I have a burlesque act to the song Voodoo by Godsmack. And that one, I use what's called Isis wings, where it's this beautiful cape where they have pole extenders, and then like you move the arms, and it's this big flowy fabric thing. And it's gorgeous. And for that one, that started with going, I want to do an Isis wing number. And so that one started with the apparatus, the thing I wanted. But then I also had times where I've done a circus act where I've heard a song. And I was like, oh, that song connects with me at this level. I need to do something with that. So I started with the song. I've had times where I'm like, I make all my costumes. So I'll just make a costume and I'm like, oh, I have this amazing look. What song goes with this look? So it's everything all at once, but more of like, where does the inspiration come from at the time?
I get it. And then since you're so invested in this with each act that you create, how do you handle fear or vulnerability when you're up there performing?
I embrace it. Someone once told me, and I relay this to all new performers, because I've been doing this a long time, is if you're not a little scared going on stage, that's your time not to be on stage anymore. Because if you're not afraid to fail, and you don't have a little bit of that fear of failure, you're going to, it shows an overconfidence, and an audience will turn on an overconfident performer in a heartbeat. And so embracing that fear, and then because you have a little bit of that fear on stage, that opens you up to that vulnerability and being able to show all the sides on you, on being as you're performing, to being able to have both the fear and the fearlessness to be vulnerable, to show something that maybe isn't pretty, maybe isn't the most glamorous, maybe isn't the most of what people think of what an art form is, but embracing it and just going for it and just doing it. So it fear and vulnerability just help fuel my art.
It sounds like when I hear actors talk about, they love being the villain because they get to embrace that, which is that, you know, what they can't be in reality. And
yeah. That's what's fun about, because the type of drag I do is I'm I do male entertainment drag. So I'm a male lead entertainment. So I don't have much of the way of changing my gender or showing an illusion, but for me, the illusion is being either the most heightened version of myself. I'm not going to be in real life because I don't go in real life in a suit covered in rhinestones and beads. Or I can be a version of myself that's like, I can be like villainous, or I'm like, I have a look that's a dragon. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a dragon. Why not? So that over the top grandioseness.
And what do you love most about teaching others about this craft?
Teaching, it's a way of teaching others builds community. And that's one thing that, especially within the LGBTQIA plus community currently, is to that like they're to stop infighting and just come together. And teaching others and helping others succeed, A, makes you a better performer because you get to see where the cracks in your armor are as you're teaching and showing your armor. You get to see where those cracks are, but also showing like it's being able to bring in a next generation and seeing them thrive and knowing you had a help a part of that and you helped teach. You helped teach the skill. You helped teach the history. You helped teach where it's going. And so since you helped teach the person where it's going, whatever they do with it, then you're part of that legacy. And you're part of that lineage of wherever that person goes and whoever they teach and whoever they teach, it's baked into the DNA of who they are. Just like every one of my coaches and every one of my teachers is baked into the DNA of who I am, because I am a huge amalgamation of the people who taught and trained me. So it's this beautiful paying it forward and connecting everyone together through that shared history.
I definitely say amen to that. That's we're all about community. That's beautiful. I love that. The DNA, and you're right. It's incredible. Circus and burlesque can feel intimidating. How do you make your spaces feel welcoming for all bodies and backgrounds?
A, I tell everyone that no matter who you are, get on stage and rock it. Honestly, for burlesque, there's nothing more sexy than confidence. If I don't care what stage your body's at, if you like your body, if you don't like your body, whatever it is, flaunt what you got. Find that part of you that if you want to get on stage, there's a part of you that wants to get on stage, and find that part that, ooh, I'm on stage, and show the audience that. And go up there, and I have, for myself, I have run the gamut of being extremely muscular with low body fat, and have been overweight, and now I'm somewhere in the middle. And when I've had the perfect, the closest I'm going to get to what society thinks is the perfect body, I get awful in burlesque. I wouldn't connect the audience because I don't know what it was. Now, I think because I'm also older, I have that confidence of here I am. If you like it, if you don't, and having that kind of attitude, audiences connect with. So it's just, am I allowed to curse in your podcast?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're not sanctioned by any FCC or anything. So let it fly. Okay. This is our community. This is how we talk to each other.
I like to make sure. I call it the fuck it rule.
Yeah.
I want to do something and it's going to be weird. Fuck it. Do it. So just,
I want to say it was a pup, but they say lean into the cringe. Just embrace it.
Embrace it. It's because that's who you are. And it's one of those ones where, like, I have done some weird things on stage that I thought were hilarious. And I got to see the faces of confusion on people in the bar. And I thought it was funny. And so I'm like, as I went, cool. I think this is funny. This is not the right audience. And so then it's just that, fuck it. Just do it. If it works, then it doesn't. You have to say, just fuck it.
As I've become older, I've come to realize that I am a cup of tea. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And I can feel the same thing for a performance or something that you throw out there. But at least you're daring enough to take that chance and put something out there, which I commend you for.
And when I am someone's cup of tea, I am very much that person's cup of tea. I found out. And those people, I love you with all of my heart.
Right. Those are my people, so to speak.
Exactly.
Now, have you had a student or a class moment that really stayed with you?
It's a student moment. I've had that stayed with me is not so much a singular student or a singular moment, but is the moment with when I was coaching a lot and everything. And that moment of I can see people's confidence flourish. And that moment is what sticks with me. Is when I see or when I give someone, it's because I've been extremely fortunate where, because I have my show here in Tucson called Oops All Boys, where I've given people the stage for the first time, and I get to see people experience what it is to be on stage and perform, sometimes for the very first time. I've also, there's some, my Oops All Boys show is all male presenting performers. I've also done like fundraisers with given like drag queen their stage for the first time. And once again, just watching that person live their absolute best life. And to me, that is one of the most powerful things to me, is because it's just like seeing a spark light up in someone. When that spark catches fire, it's just profound. And there's no other way of saying that it's profound, and there's no other way to encapsulate in a word the feeling of like joy that it like brings up in me.
That's awesome. Now, on the flip side of that, that's about the performance. Now, can you tell us how you think that performance, what role performance like that can play in building and healing our community, considering where we are with our current administration and just what's happening in the world today?
Realizing that all art is political. That those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to make art, those of us who have the privilege to make art, just having the goal to do so and knowing that my art is a stance that somebody doesn't like. There's somebody losing sleep over the fact that I do my art. And to me, that's so very punk because of the fact that like I might be living rent-free in someone's mind because they don't like the silly things I do on stage. And even when people speak up and start all the hate things and think all the nonsense they want to say in anything, just knowing to me that is like a form of power because I did something to stir an emotion in them. And stirring that emotion is making them think. And because I made them think, and probably made them think in a way that they didn't like, it caused a response. So if all of us keep causing those responses, even the keep sparking, like those people who are angry at us, for us to keep sparking that anger because of the fact that it's causing them to think about why are they angry? What are we doing? And for us to continue to showing that act of defiance, because it is an act of defiance.
It's so true. What you're saying, I'm just pondering it because it's like, it's so true. Everything that you're saying, it's very powerful. It's amazing.
Thank you. I'm
trying to think how to like respond to that because it does. It encapsulates all of it as far as why we have to continue being who we are. Mm-hmm. And yes, like you're saying, living rent-free in these people's minds that for whatever reason can't just accept. It's also funny because you talk about how art is invoking an emotion. And it's so funny because so many people, when I was talking with another local artist who doesn't do it for a living, but has a full-time gig and then has his art project that is a passion project, and people are like, are you making money at it? And it's not always about money, and it's everyone wants to associate, well, are you making money at it? That's not how I'm gauging success. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
This is same like with our podcast. It's not a money-making thing. It's a community-building thing. Not everything is about money. And so you saying that about art, that it's so true, and people forget that. I forget that.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, it's nice when it makes money.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you want that, sure.
I want that, but ultimately, I unfortunately am not privileged enough with my art to be able to not have a day job, so I also have a day job as well as all of this.
Same here.
I get it, because artists, they're starving artists for a reason.
They're starving artists for a reason, and I romanticized that for so long. And then when I lived it, I was like, yeah, but I'm starving.
Right.
I'm hungry and I'm stressed.
Right. So I do not believe I will profit off of what my art is in my lifetime, but that doesn't mean I want to stop doing it.
I might not profit off it. It doesn't mean I want to stop doing it. It doesn't mean that I'm going to dictate that I must stop doing it.
Right.
Because the work is important. Because, like, especially for drag, like, where I'm dancing around on stage, lip syncing to someone else's songs, pretending that I'm singing. And that is such as, when you break it down like that, it's a very silly thing.
There was TV show in the 80s and 90s called Putting on the Hits or something like that. That's all it was about. And now, was that considered woke? I'm so confused by these people getting so angry over performances.
And it's part of me is wondering how, like, with getting angry at these performances, is they're seeing only one small aspect of it, and they're not willing to open themselves up and see more of it. And in the 80s and 90s, or to a certain extent, In the late 90s and early up, things were a lot more liberal, had a lot more of a liberal bend to them than they do now. Things have actually regressed a fair amount in this country in regards to art. And
because people get canceled like the same thing that we say about art not being profitable, ergo, Hollywood is not about art anymore like it used to be. Hollywood is now about just making money. And maybe it's about that. Maybe I'm romanticizing the history of that. They don't take the chances. Now everything has to be a success out of the box. TV shows aren't given a few seasons to try and develop an audience and find its footing. It's either a success out of the gate or it's not happening.
Yeah. And a lot of new things are, I definitely agree. A lot of new things, a lot of new ideas are being stifled because they don't show up fully formed. They don't show up with a fan base intact.
Right.
I think a lot of people now really don't realize that building a base of people who come to your stuff takes time and it takes a lot of effort.
Right. And when you don't have a big machine behind you to promote you, they just don't understand. It's funny. Like, when's the last time you saw like a Chili's or an Applebee's commercial? I don't see them that often. Of course, I don't watch a lot of commercials either. But those brands, that they're ingrained in me because of all the money they spent to get there.
Yeah. And some of these big brands, I heard an ad for, I forget what it was. It was a really big brand. And in my head going, oh, they must be not doing well. I'm hearing an ad for them on the radio, on a podcast. That's weird.
Yeah, but marketing works, and it's hard to do. And especially now, because there's so much noise. That's why, like, our podcast is this, our little megaphone, so to speak, to try and let people know about our community and get to learn about it, because where else are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Local TV isn't going to focus on any of our stuff. Local media isn't going to focus on any of our stuff. So we have to focus on our stuff.
Yeah. And it's like one of the ones that it's like the whole be the change you want to see in the world. Like I've had a lot of mentors in my life who were throughout circuit school, through burlesque, through drag, through theater, who were very much that everyone going, if there isn't something for you, make it. If you don't see your opportunities, make your opportunities.
And what's really more American than that, to be honest? Isn't that the whole reason
that any of our ancestors came to this country or were dragged to this country or are whyever they stayed, once they got the choice, it was because they got that. There is that opportunity, still barely, but there's still that opportunity.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of the ones that, at least for me, after I decided to, for me, producing my own show was a big step. It's still stressful.
It's not an easy thing to do. I commend you for it.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of having faith. It's going, okay, cool. I know that this, I have these tickets to sell. I have this, I have that. I also do pageantry. And like, I'm doing all this stuff. And I just have to have faith that I am doing things in whatever higher power I believe in or whatever in my own will that I am, that it's going to work out and I'm going to do the things to make it work out.
Right.
But it's not just going, oh, I hope it works out, but like actually go in, put the things in place.
Right.
And do the things going. Oh.
There's so many people, like there was, I adored this friend, Jason, that I knew a long time ago. I don't know if he's still alive, but he was just a dreamer and he was like, I'm going to be discovered like Marilyn Monroe. And I'm like, Marilyn Monroe still worked and went to school and studied and honed her craft. She wasn't just discovered. And all of a sudden it was this magical path. It was still work even after that, which is why ultimately everything happened. It still takes time to learn, to craft, to build it. Even an overnight success had lots of training and work beforehand.
I think that's a lot of things that I think people miss is the invisible work that you don't see.
Right.
Like when I'm on stage, if I'm doing an aerial performance and if everything looks, I always say, honestly, if you do an aerial, like with circus, if you're doing a circus performance correctly, then there should be someone in the audience looking at you going, oh, but that's easy. I could do that. Because you're making everything look
you're so floating. Easy, right?
So effortless and so easy, like gravity doesn't affect you. And the beautiful thing about that is then that person might seek out a class and go, oh no, I can't do that, but I'm going to try.
That's awesome. So who are some artisans or spaces in Arizona that you'd love to collaborate with or have a show at?
That's a really hard question. There's a lot of, I mean, with drag, I could name a lot of the people that I look up to, like in drag, that I don't think people would know who they are because it's a very niche art form, especially with male lead entertainers. I got to meet some this summer that were just.
You never know. And that's how we spread the word about them existing so that people can learn about them. So go for it. Say.
So there's this summer, I got to meet a male performer that Seymour Chilton. He's just was the biggest sweetheart on the planet. There's also, I said that, and all of a sudden, that's all the names in my head just leave.
It's called game show pressure.
Yeah. There's a burlesque artist. There's a boylesque artist who's a fabulous comedian who just blends glamour, class, and humor. And also, like, glamour, class, raunch, and humor all together perfectly. His name is Faggoty Randy, and he is one of my big inspirations. And he just, you watch him, you're like, oh my God, that is so funny. And I didn't even think that this beautiful thing in front of me is as raunchy as it is.
That's awesome.
With circus, it's really, I've got to, currently with circus, I don't really have anyone, I don't have any dream companies like that I would want to go to right now. I've worked with a lot of people that I'm just like, I feel very fortunate for working with who's taught me a lot. I've worked for not any of the big companies, but big company adjacent, if that makes any form of sense.
It does.
And that was got to be a lot of like big career highlights for me. It's like, I'm not doing as much circus as I once have been, mainly because I've had to focus on personal life stuff in the past few years, especially with family and everything like that. And then now starting to come back and like figuring out how I can still bring circuits back into things and getting those gears back up again. But it's just a lot of the collaborations with drag, just being like, I would love to collaborate with, like, if I could share a stage with Trixie Mattel, I would die. I would die. I'd be like, I'm happy now. I would die.
I've been in the audience of Trixie Mattel, and I understand correctly, because I almost died laughing.
Yeah. And it's just being just a lot of, like, any of the big, really, in any of these things, any of these big names, I would be honored to be in the same, on the same stage with, because that would give me an opportunity to learn. So while I do have these dream people to work with, honestly, really everyone that you're on stage with, everyone you share backstage with, everyone you come into contact, it, to me, it's more of that opportunity to learn from them. Even of being like, how do they operate? How are they on stage? How do they hold themselves? And knowing that and making these little observations just help add to your toolkit as a performer, to so you can emulate that as well. And then it just becomes a self-perpetuating cycle, because then people see that in you, and then in the adds to them, and just every, if you put out goodness, then goodness comes back.
That leads right into the next question perfectly. So for anyone who's listening, who's always dreamed of performing, what's one small step that they could take today to begin?
Just to do it. That is the most unhelpful piece of advice on the planet. I will say that right now. If you want to do it, just do it.
But it's true. It has to be the person themselves to actually take the step and do it. I can't make you take a step. You can't make me take a step. No one can make that happen except for themselves.
Yeah. The best piece of advice I would say, go, if you want to perform, find your local shows. Go to your local shows. Become a fan. Find the local people that you love, and then find out why you love them. What is about their performance that you love that resonates with you? And when you start getting, and then talk to them, talk to the performers, talk to the burlesque performers, talk to the queens, talk to the kings, talk to everyone, because you will pick up how they started, how they got into it. And then you can see the avenues. You can see where you might be able to go, hey, can you teach me this? Or I'm learning this. Do you have any tips? Do you have this? It is because there is a burlesque performer in Bisbee. Her name is Sonia Rita. She is absolutely phenomenal. And her big thing that I have started telling people is always be a fan first. Go to the shows. Support the people who are doing it. Because if you're a fan first and you know why you like those people, when you start doing it, then you will know what you want to do, because you're seeing what you like is what you'll put out, because that's what you like. That's your personal taste. And if you and you should always cater to your personal taste.
That's beautiful. It's awesome. That's great advice. Where can people follow you online or find out more about your upcoming shows, and where can they see you?
So I am coming up on November 15th here in Tucson, Arizona, at the Cabaret Space at the Temple of Music and Art. We're at Arizona Theater Company. There's a small theater up there on November 15th called Oops All Boys. Please come to the show. If it's okay, if I can send you the flyer.
Oh, yes, definitely. Put it on Gay PHX, too.
Okay, that'd be awesome. You can also follow me at Randy Wild Circus. That is my Instagram handle. If you like, I am right now still look also, I'm going to put this out there. You can also send me an email at randy.wild.circus@gmail.com. I am currently looking for people to help sponsor both Oops All Boys so I can keep it running and keep it going and gaining the momentum it needs. And I'm also looking for sponsors for my run for National Snow King that's coming up on March 1st.
Excellent. And spell wild, just because this is an audio podcast, I want people to know that how to do it.
Oh, spell it. I tell people to spell it like Oscar. So that's WILDE.
Excellent. Awesome. again, thank you so very much for taking the time to come on here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about substance use and sex. Let's talk about sex while using substances without judgment, because this is about harm reduction, not condemnation. If you choose to use, the goal is to stay informed, be prepared, and use as safe as possible, which can all add to the pleasure that you're seeking. That means knowing your limits, planning ahead, and having the right tools like protection, hydration, Narcan, and a plan to check in with yourself and your partners. Keep the conversation open, honest, and friendly. This approach helps everyone feel respected and supported no matter their choices. And if you do use alone, remember this, you don't have to be completely alone. Consider using the Never Use Alone phone hotline. Someone can stay on the phone with you to help keep you safe. So take care of yourself, take care of each other, and keep it friendly, because safety and support should always come first.
Pride lives here.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gay PHX. A very special thank you to Randy Wild for taking the time to sit down with Billy and share your journey, from theater and circus to burlesque, drag, and building community through the arts. Thank you for reminding all of us that authenticity, creativity, and lifting others up are some of the most powerful things we can do. We truly appreciate you spending time with the Gay PHX community. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here. Every time you tune in, share an episode, attend a local event, or support an LGBTQ+ business, you're helping strengthen our community across Arizona. Before we wrap up, I'd like to invite anyone who's curious about the pup community to visit amorypack.com. Whether you're just learning what the community is all about, or looking for educational resources and upcoming events, it's a welcoming place to explore, ask questions, and connect with others. And don't forget to visit gayphx.com, where you'll find hundreds of LGBTQ+ events happening throughout Arizona, our growing local business directory, community organizations, and every episode of the Gay PHX podcast. Until next week, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, keep supporting local, and remember that the community isn't built during one month of the year, it's built every single day. I'm Delos with Amory Pack. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Gay PHX.
We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side. We're together, the sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast. Be kind. Be bold. Be you.